All right, everyone, we finished off a sermon series last week called You Are Victorious. And tonight stands a bit on its own. It's not a start of a sermon series. It's just something I felt in my heart. And I enjoy it every now and then just to break away for a week and just almost let something just run over the pulpit as I felt in the week. Next week, of course, is Andre de Villiers. It's the start of our relationship month, right? So, Andre, listen, next week you want to invite people here. There's already two other small churches that's bringing their churches here to be with us. And so we're looking forward to it. It's going to be amazing. And then after that, we're going to carry on. We're going to talk about godly romantic relationships. We're going to talk about marriage. We're going to talk about purity. We're going to talk about being single. And as you are single, you're shining a light unto God in the way you're thinking about that. We're going to talk about the roles of the husband and the wife. We're going to touch on those things, and we do it every year because we think it's very important. Amen? So it's going to be a great month. Who's excited? Great. So tonight I want to run into a very specific direction. And I am talking on how do you enter God's rest. How do you enter God's rest? So if you are a teacher and you think in that way, you're asking yourself already, what do you mean by enter? What do you mean by God's rest? Define God's rest. Don't worry, we'll do all those things. Tonight is going to be a bit more academic. Okay? It's going to be a bit more academic. We handled a lot of topics. And so tonight we're going to look at a piece of scripture and we're going to break it open. All right? It's also important. Are you with me? It's an important part of our diet. So some of you guys are like, yes, lang gewacht. Some of you are like, oh, whatever. You need to eat your groente and your meat. And if you're in our small group, you get to Net's mouth for pudding. And you don't ask questions. You just eat. All right? So tonight, what is my goals for this sermon? Here's just a few goals. If you want to make a note and almost ask yourself, maybe tomorrow morning if you work through it again. These are some things that I have on my heart before we start that I would like these things to impact your life. To understand God's rest. To understand Hebrews 4, that's a chapter I'm going to preach off. Understanding how God's word ministers to you. Now, hermeneutics is a very big word. All it means is it is the study of God's word. How do you actually read God's word and how not to read it? Okay. There's a way to read. For example, who likes reading books, like any books? Like, you don't start just in the middle of the book. Right, and then you finish it, and then you start again in the front. That doesn't make sense. But in the same ways, there's also ways that's wrong to read the Bible. Now, a sermon like tonight's, whenever you do a sermon on a piece of scripture, it teaches you the hermeneutic skills. How do you work with scripture? What does it mean when a scripture starts with because, or for, or therefore? That means something must have happened in the previous verse, and now they are saying, therefore. You know, it's little things like that. And I hope to stimulate that kind of thinking tonight as well. Then I would like to inspire you to be excited for the next time you're going to open your Bible on your own. Amen? Now, I'm very excited about this topic. So I must remind myself not to go too far. So I'm just going to breathe and take a sip of water. I want to read the first 12 verses of Hebrews 4, I want to go through it very slowly, and then we're going to unpack it. Right. Are you with me? Are you ready? Let's do it. How can you enter God's rest? Hebrews 4 verse 1. Therefore, already you should note, it's linking a verse over a whole previous chapter, but we don't have all the time in the world. We're quickly going to go back to the previous verse, but for now, just jump on the boat right there. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. Now, let me just stop myself for a second. We're jumping on a bus that already stopped at a few stations here, right? This moment in Hebrews, what the writer is doing is he is making a few analogies. The one that he's got on the table right here is he's comparing the Israelites and their journey in the wilderness on their way to the promised land to us at this time. In a moment, he's also going to use the Sabbath day as an analogy, but let's handle that when we get there. One is saying, good news came to us just as to them. The Israelites in the wilderness received good news. What was the good news? By the way, it's a gospel. The gospel, what does gospel mean? Good news. What was their good news? You can enter into the promised land. Right, so they received the good news. Did we receive good news? Yes, we can enter into the promised land through Christ. Can you see? Analogy is not exactly the same, but there's lines you can draw. And that's what he's doing here. And he says, but the message they heard did not benefit them. Because they, what is they? It's the message. Because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Okay, it's talking about a message comes to us and a message that came to the Israelites. The message that came to the Israelites, it did not break open their hearts because they did not receive it with faith. So the words were spoken, but it was never heard. Are you with me? All right, let's go on. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, it's going to get a bit difficult and I'm not going to go into everything. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So how God spoke to them in the wilderness, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. Now, don't get lost here. I'm going to help you here. And again in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterwards in the word already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua have given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. Now, okay, this demagogue, because this guy is going for it, right here. Let me just help you. What he is saying is, the Israelites at that stage, the promised land resembled a rest for them. It would be a destination. It would be a place where if they got there, there would be rest. And it's almost just like God, when he finished the creation, he said, he got to his destination, and he said, it is done, and he rested. Now, after the Israelites and their journey, Scripture still speaks of the rest. Why? Because it was referring to the rest in Christ that was coming. It's not a physical rest. It affects you physically as well, but here's the thing. Every human has got a spiritual battle going on for their life. And only by meeting Jesus Christ do you find rest. A Sabbath for your spirit. So here's the thing. Whether you want to keep a Sabbath day in a week, right? If you want to take one day and make rules for yourself, you can do that. But let me tell you what, that's not what Scripture requires of you. The Sabbath day that they had to keep as a day and not do a lot of stuff was a shadow of someone who would come. Who's that someone? It's Jesus. He is our rest. Our rest is a person. It's not a day. Okay? It's not a day that starts at 12 and finishes at 12. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. What does it mean? When you bring your heart to him, your heart is at rest. Jesus is our Sabbath. Are you with me? And never ever again will you have to work to earn forgiveness. You can rest. He did it. That's all that scripture is saying at this moment, all right? So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God in Christ, all right? Check verse 10. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from him. No longer do I have to work so that God will say, now I love you because you've done all those things. No longer do you have to try to be someone you're not so that God may say, well done. No, no. He's done it all. So when it comes to your heart, your spirit, your yearning to be with God, you may rest in Jesus. Alright? Let us therefore be diligent. Now, these are the two verses we're going to focus on. And a lot of speaking to get here. Now, at 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Right? So that no one may fall by the same sword of disobedience. We're going to work with that in a second. The word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning through the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If that made you demokar, that's about right. Just hold on. Now, I don't have a 1, 2, 3, 4 right now, but I've got key words for those of you that's following with your books that you can maybe write down and follow as we just untangle basically verse 11 and 12, because that's going to take us to our destination. How to enter God's rest. So the next slide, the goal of this chapter is to enter God's rest. The Israelites was on the table. These guys had to enter God's rest. They did not listen, so they could not. Only the next generation could. But there's an analogy made to us, and it gets to this point where it says, now, be diligent to enter that rest. If you go to verse 1, we see there's a promise of entering his rest. Let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Even though the rest is there, even though Jesus is there, does not mean that everyone enters into that rest. And so scripture makes an appeal to us. Be diligent. Don't let the opportunity come by. Don't walk past the promised land one more time. It's going to be 20 years journey when you get there again. Be diligent to enter when you have the chance. I also want to say at this stage that even if you know him, you may know him, but you may live outside of rest. Certain areas of your life may be overwhelmed by the worries of this world, and you may have placed your trust in other things. And I want to also ask you, if you have invited him once, evaluate your heart and your faith and ask yourself, are you at rest in God? That's very important for tonight. So the goal of this chapter is to enter God's rest. Then just the next important phrase, if we look at verse 11, it says, be diligent to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sword of disobedience. What is the same sword of disobedience? What is he talking about? Now that's very important because he says, I want you to enter that rest, but watch out that you don't fall into the same sword of disobedience. Who's he talking about? Who's the analogy between? Israelites. So he says the Israelites did something that prevented them from entering God's rest. There's something that they did. And if we can understand what they did wrong, we can understand what the scripture is asking. Because it's asking, don't repeat the same sort of disobedience. So what did they do? What was the essence of their sin? If we can understand that, we know where to go from here. So I'm going to take you one verse back from where we started. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 19. Check this out. This will unlock it. So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. unbelief. Unbelief is the disobedience that kept the Israelites out of their rest. Does that make sense? They did not believe the word. If we could go to Romans 4 verse 2. Don't lose me. I'm going fast tonight. I'm going to slow down in a second. For good news came to them. Just repeating this verse. Just to us, just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith. So the message came, guys, God wants to take you into the promised land. And what they said, no, did you see those giants? Did you see those men there? We cannot enter that land. We want to go back to Egypt. So God's word came, take the promised land. And when the word came, there was an opportunity to place their faith in God's word. And when you marry your faith with God's word, stuff happens. But they said, no, we don't want to believe in that. We want to go back to Egypt. And so according to their faith, they could not enter the promised land. It was not possible. They stated they all died in the wilderness. Joshua took their kids, the next generation, they took in. So practically, if you want to enter the rest of God, here's the key. I'll run ahead a bit. When the word of God comes to you, you have to take it with faith. That's how you enter his rest. The word comes grab it, all you have. It doesn't matter if you see giants, doesn't matter if you see what that person is going to say, how am I going to feel, how is it going to affect this or that. You take it and you mix it with faith and you hold on to it with everything you have. Just on a very elementary level, just to give you one or two examples how this works. If you believe that church is essential to your spiritual breathing, you're going to worship and hear God's word, then many obstructions can come to church on a Sunday night. Guess what? You'll be found here, and here you are. Something you believed led you here tonight. Something God maybe spoke to your heart and said, come, I want you to respond, I want you to grow, and you said, yes, Lord, and here you are. You see, you cannot separate what you believe from what you do. If you believe what is important for me on a Sunday night, I'm not trying to be weird, but just listen to hear me out. If you believe what's important tonight, it's been a long week, I want to go and rather, you know, grab a DVD and eat pizza with my wife and just hang out. If you believe that, you will do that. All right? And so what you believe will order how you live. Right? And so here's the thing. When God's word comes and you believe it, then you're going to live in God's purposes. And that's your place of rest. And that is what we are fighting for. Right? Check this out. You can substitute the last part of verse 11 with that part in verse 390, because it's exactly the same thing he's talking about. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, that no one may fall by the same sort of unbelief. Unbelief is a trap. When the word of God comes, will it find faith in you to grab onto the word? When it falls on your heart, when it falls on your eyes, and you read it and you see it and it comes to you, will there be faith to marry it? Because if there's no faith, there is unbelief. Amen? If you take it slow, it's not so difficult. Now, here's the thing. I wanted to come to this spot. This is amazing. So great, okay, we must have faith. You must do well. You must grab the word of God with faith. How? Psych yourself up. It works for a day. All right? Here it is. 4, verse 12. The Word of God. Now we know this verse. And we know there's something cool about it, because sometimes we'll quote it, and for us it will mean it's the Word of God is important, right? With all these words. But I'm going to show you where this verse literally leads. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing through the division of soul and spirit. Now it gets weird. Joints and marrow. And discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, if you look at all those words in that verse, it should just be like too much to contain. And I think I'll have to prepare for very long to unpack that whole thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to steal a quote from someone else. And this is what this man says. He says, if you look at that verse, the Word of God is living and it's active and it's sharp. And it pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Here's what it means in plain words. The Word of God, when it comes, it pierces very deep. Past layers of anger, past layers of preconceived ideas, past layers of past hurts. When it comes, you can trust it to go very deep. But when it goes very deep, there's something the Word of God that's living wants to do when it gets there in your heart. When it gets to the bottom of you, and nothing else can get there. Only the Word of God can get there. When it gets there, here's what it does. It discerns what's going on here. Why? Why does the Word of God want to get into you very deep to see what's going on? Who wants to take a chance? I'll also be scared to take a chance. The Word of God wants to reach deep into you. If you have your eyes and your ears open, it will show you areas of unbelief. What we are fighting in this chapter. If you open His Word, your eyes, and you take it in, it will help you. It will point out to you where there may be unbelief in your life, that you may remove it and enter His rest. It is the goal of this chapter. It's what He wants you to do. He wants you to be at rest with your Savior. Know Him. Be with Him. Understand Him. Experience the joy of Him loving you. And so when the Word comes, and the Word of God covers every topic, every practical means of this life and this world that's in the Bible, from your workplace, your family, your marriage, your desires, your thoughts, everything. And so as you read it, it comes and it goes deep and it shows to you which of those things, as the Word comes, you are not believing. And so when you commit to believe it, you are busy repenting. You're saying, oh Lord, I realize I have not believed well. I had misplaced faith. And so you take the Word and you believe it and you enter God's rest. So I want to help you just with 4 points. Well, before I go on, just by giving you 4 points to enter God's rest. That word discerning is the same word as judging. When the Word of God gets very deep into you, it wants to judge. Okay, but when we hear that word judge, we have a very negative, we hear it as condemnation. But it's more in this sense, like, Stella's not here anymore, but she was a physio. So typically if you have a pain in your knee, you'll go to Estelle and you'll say, so what's your judgment? Okay? And then she'll say, my judgment is that the muscles around the knee is not the issue. There's actually a nerve that's hurt. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sort out that nerve and it will help your knee. Can you see what judgment is? It's understanding what's going on. And when God is dealing with you, He always comes with a way closer. It doesn't come to push you away. That is condemnation. Conviction is showing you where to walk. And so when the Word of God gets into your heart, if you open it up, it will show you how to get back to God. Amen? Does it make sense? I know it's tonight I'm going fast. I know it's quite academic, but we need to work through these things every now and again. Number one, how do you enter God's rest? You diligently consume the Word. If it cannot reach you, it cannot penetrate deep past your soul, your spirit, past joints and marrow into your heart and help you to understand. And I'm not trying to be funny, but I just want to be honest. Many people don't get here. And so lives are wasted, and it's constant struggle, and it's bucleire and stuff. We have to get to this place. Lord, I open up to your Word. Open up. But know this, when the Word comes, it's going to speak truth. And you must be ready to hear it, because it's going to be something like, hey, listen, in the area of your finances, you are putting faith in something else. It's misplaced. It's unbelief. I must move. Or in the area of your relationships or in your family or whatever it may be, the truth of God is going to reveal where you may have a belief that is in the wrong place. Can I help you guys with this? No, let me not run ahead. Let's go to the next one. Number two, diligently marry the Word with your faith. Now, what this means is don't open the Bible, right? If you do it because it's on your list, because you're going to waste time. Do something else. Do the dishes, right? Or do the washing. But here's the thing. When you open it, you have to be ready for what is coming, because it's going to want to come deep, right? It's going to come for you too. Help you, to judge you. Oh, my judgment is if you shift your faith in God in this way, you're going to rest. You do well. So be ready to encounter who's the Word of God. Come on. Jesus, okay, He is the Word. When you read Scripture, you encounter a person. So when I ask Carl, help me with this area of my life, what do you see? He's going to say, you're messing up there. Let me help. He's a person. The Word is alive. So as you open it, it's going to come into you and confront you. Be grateful for that. It's your salvation. Be happy when you hear Him say, God. Be happy when you hear Him say, you can do it. What you must do is turn back to me. Don't run away from that voice. It is your life. It's your breath. Alright? So be ready when you open, so that when the news come, it will find faith to land on. Amen? Number three, diligently. I'm using that word diligently because that's a word in the Scripture. Or strivingly. Repent of misplaced faith. So, don't be scared to say you're wrong before God or God's people. It is the foundation of our faith. He who exalts himself, God will humble him. He who humbles himself, God will lift him up. How do you humble yourself? Lord, I got it wrong. God, I got it wrong. Thanks for helping. Those moments of repenting is your moments of glory. Because at that moment, your faith is shifting away from trusting on something else unto trusting on God, and you are entering His rest. It's your most glorious moments. Now, misplaced faith, unbelief, the same thing. This is how it looks in this world. I just want to bring this principle down. Listen, we've all made mistakes. I've made more than most of you, except for Nalise. Normally, she's out-sinned me in every way. But I'm just joking. she's thinking, like Paul said, I'm the chief of sinners. So that's humility. So, I think God's going to get me for that. So please forgive me, Lord. If any of these things, this is just stuff that, for example, listen, I'm not pointing you out or I'm not discerning you. Listen, wherever there's a sin, there's opportunity to repent and come to God. But this is how misplaced faith works. God tells you, I've made you, I've got a plan for your life. Every area of your life, I love you. It's planned out. But somehow a lie has come into your life and now you've chosen to believe that lie. It sounds something like this. A godly man will never choose you as a wife. So you'll have to find another way. And so your action starts to follow. Because believe never stays here. Believe turns to life. And so you get your heart broken. What happened? There was rest for you. Trust in Him. He knows. He loves you. But you have misplaced your faith. You had unbelief and you exited the rest and now you're in the wilderness. He's waiting for you. You can't come back. That's how it works. Just bring it down. Does it make sense? Okay. Because of unbelief. There's not a future for you unless you go for an abortion. It's no future. Your life is over. Who's that talking to you? It's sin. It's saying, place your faith in what I'm telling you right now. Your life is over. You won't get a job. You won't do well. And one day, no man will want you to get an abortion. Now you have a decision. God, if I turn to you, God says, believe in me. Turn to me. You can do this. Now you must place your faith something. You have to trust in God or in that lie. Rest or no rest. That's how it works in this world. I know it's heavy topics. Listen, we can't avoid this. This is life, amen? This happens around us. If you lie and keep hidden what your boss wants you to keep hidden, if you keep it between you and him, you will get promoted. God says, I want you to be honest, upright. Where are you going to place belief? Where are you going to place faith? In God, I can't do this. Didn't you have to fire me? And maybe you don't have a salary for the next year. Is that the route that's God going to take you? Take it. You have to place faith somewhere. Rest is always in the promises of God. Right? And we exit it if we place our faith on anything else that causes us to miss God. Another lie that might come that many people believe, and my heart breaks, I cry around this, is you will never repair your marriage. There was no intimacy here for months, so it's okay to start a new relationship. It's not your fault, you deserve better, and now you have a decision. God is saying, repair it. I'm going to help you. On your knees and ask forgiveness and wash your feet. Do what you... I'm going to be with you. Something else is saying, no, there's no hope. You must choose. They did not enter because of unbelief. Now, I don't know where you are in life. I don't know exactly how's your situation at work or your love life or the lack of it. I'm not invested in that at all. But here's the thing. I know He's making promises to you. And I know there is false promises coming to you as you are. And on one way or another, you're going to take the faith that you have and you will place it in something. And if you make no decision, if you're hesitant, you already placed it away from God. You want to enter God's rest. Hear His word. Add faith. It's called being a disciple. And it's the life of adventure that will turn this world around. It's going to turn you upside down at times. You're going to hold on for all of your life. I will choose another life. Diligently repent of misplaced faith. If you've messed up in any area, like I said, if you put my sin with Nalise's, it's more than anyone else. Okay? So, bow before Him. I'm taking back my faith and I'm putting it in you. whether you know him and you need to give an area back, or whether you don't know him and you just need to bring your whole life. Same thing. He's inviting you to faith. Some of you, I just feel, maybe it's a word for someone, you've been faithful for so long. Don't mess it up now. Don't mess it up. Keep your eyes on him. He's the author and the finisher. He will finish what he started. Let go of your timeline. He is busy. Pull it through. Trust him. Amen. Don't throw away your rest. Doing well. And the last one. Oh no, it's just to help you. The Word of God will help you how to replace misplaced faith. Why? Because remember, it's going to go deep. And when it's going to go deep, it's going to discern. It means it's like coming in and saying, it's like there's a lot of alabasters, what's it, marbles. And it's like, it's just sorting the different ones. That's what the Word of God does. These are good. Doing great here. These are good. These, put them there in the bin or in the toilet and flush. Hope it reaches no one else in the world. All right? So it's helping you. It's discerning. It's glorious. And when you see, don't feel bad and run out of God's presence. Stand and say, I'm placing my trust now in you, taking that. It's called repentance. And times of refreshing will come. So scripture says, how you enter his rest. And the last one, diligently take a step of faith that's relevant to the word received in your heart. Yeah, that's a new way of talking, by the way. Henriette, where were you on missions? Diligently take a step of faith that's relevant to the word you received in your heart. What does that mean? It means now take it out of your quiet time. Take it to another person. So God spoke to me, and now I'm frightened to tell you what I'm about to tell you, because now you're going to know and you're going to ask me tomorrow if I'm doing it or next week or whether I did it. And then I'm scared that I'm not going to do it. So I'm tempted not to tell anyone, but here it is. I'm serious. I want to enter God's rest. What is his rest? I want to enter the place of living overflow, relationship with my Savior. Talks about meeting with Christ and then in this life and for eternity, experience the joy of your salvation. Fight for that place. Take it out. Take a step. Make that call. Whatever that practical thing is, God is saying, call that person for coffee. I know you want to hit them with a brick. Just phone them. And take them for malva pudding. All right? It works. If it goes bad, take the pudding and put it in their face. I'm just. Diligently consume the word. Diligently marry the word with your own faith. Repent of misplaced faith and take a step of faith that's relevant to the word you receive in your heart. He's calling. Go to him. He's your Savior. He's your Father. He loves you. And he wants to help you. So if you've messed up, quickly run to him. Because you're about to mess up some more in any case. Just go to him. Can we stand tonight and just respond to this?